reading today is from Matthew 21, verses 12 to 17. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things he did and heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became angry and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never heard? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself." He left them and went out to the city of Bethany and spent the night there. The reading, the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. As we continue our series on what would Jesus do living with integrity, we're going to look at anger. Anger. What would Jesus do with anger? What is anger with integrity? I don't really do anger much. At least I don't do it very well. So of course, thank you, I got anger. This, though, was my mom pretty much all the time. This is anger from the movie Inside Out. We know him. He starts out frustrated on a slow boil and ends up blowing his stack with magma volcano force. Not for him, that cold shoulder version of revenge best served cold. Nope, he has two settings, simmer and blow out. You know the feeling. One more person cuts you off in traffic, and it starts to drizzle, and you're late for the appointment already anyway, and boom. I don't like that feeling. I don't like being out of control. I don't like going from zero to DEFCON 10 in less than 60 seconds. Anger happens. It can happen in a mad flash, or it can slowly build up. But either way, when we get angry, somebody may get hurt. We don't want to be out of control. How can we be angry with integrity? One summer, my kids and I were getting ready to go on vacation for home leave. I had done all the prep work that was necessary, packed the bags, gone to the airline ticket agency where you had to go downtown, found one of the very few, it felt like two parking places, got the tickets, was assured we had seats, and everything was ready to go until we got to the airport. The ticket agent proceeded to tell me that my daughter and I did in fact have seats, but my son did not have a seat and would have to wait 4 hours till the next flight. This meant that not only would he have to change planes by himself, he would have to clear customs alone, take care of himself during the layover, which meant finding food, find his correct gate to get on the plane, and then continue the journey. It also meant that the people picking us up an hour from the airport to their home would have to make two trips 4 hours apart. I lost it. Total mama bear mode. The kids thought I was going to jump over that counter and attack the agent. They still talk about it. There's a lot written about anger. Google it. You'll be amazed. I was. You can get a lot of psychological information. You can get a lot of pop psych too. More than you thought was possible. Anger is normal, and everybody does it. Aristotle spoke of anger roughly 350 years before Christ, and he said, "Anybody can become angry." True, right? That's easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the way, right way, that is not in everybody's power, and it is not easy. But it was in Jesus' power. Jesus has just come off of the wonderful Palm Sunday parade where everybody is acclaiming him, singing, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He walks into the temple, and what does he see? Animals, money changers, hawkers, people screaming, "I've got the best price." Somebody else saying, "Where? Over here." And he loses it. He goes into total Papa Bear mode. He turns over tables. He makes a whip in John's version and is whipping animals and people to get out of the way, to clear out the temple. He is violently, physically angry. This is the most angry we see Jesus in the Gospels. I'm not real comfortable with this Jesus. I much prefer the one that holding the children on his lap. I much prefer the laughing Jesus. But he had good reason to be angry. And we need some background to understand it. Jesus has just entered Jerusalem in victory, the victory of a peace king, but a victory. And when he enters the temple, ready to worship, what does he find? Chaos. Now, Jesus has entered what would be the court of the Gentiles in the temple. The area around the temple, it was a big, fairly good-sized area, and the outside area was reserved for Gentiles to worship. They could go in there, they could worship. Then there was an area that was reserved for Jewish women, an area that was reserved for Jewish men, and an area that was reserved for the priests. The buying and selling would have been occurring in the court of the Gentiles. The one place that they could come, that God-fearing Gentiles who had not yet converted to Judaism could come and worship. It's kind of hard to worship in that sort of condition. Now, there was a really good reason, though, to be selling the animals. You see, when you came to worship there, you brought an animal for sacrifice. But the animal had to be without blemish, perfect. Now, if you come in from, let's say, Galilee with a sheep or a bull or even a dove or two, which was for the poor people's offering, that's a long way to come with an animal. And something could happen to it so that it would no longer be perfect when you got there. So the temple authorities had developed a really nice system where they kept a certain amount of unblemished animals available for purchase for people who had traveled long distance to make their sacrifice, to do their worship. It's great. They had vendors who would sell them. Of course, who approved the animals as being perfect? Who approved the vendors? Probably the temple authorities. Then there's the money changers. Now, at this time, it was about Passover, and every Jewish male has to pay a temple tax. Originally, that temple tax was paid in temple shekels. However, with the Romans, the temple was no longer allowed to make its own coinage. So they were using this, the Tyrian shekel. And the Roman authorities had allowed the temple to keep a certain amount of temple shekels available for sale so you could pay your tax. Of course, you pay your tax, and they take the temple shekels and they resell them to somebody else who has to pay the tax. And then they resell them to somebody else who has to pay the tax. This is a great cartel. I mean, I wouldn't have minded being in on this if that was my bent. They approve the vendors. They approve the animals. They approve the shekels. Nice system. No wonder Jesus was so angry. The temple, which was meant to be a place to worship God, which was meant to be a refuge from all of this, had instead become a place of injustice and oppression. No wonder he was turning over tables and making whips and cleaning house. It was time. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." This is a quote from Isaiah. When Isaiah is talking about a time when foreigners, Gentiles, eunuchs, when people who normally were not allowed in the temple will now be allowed in to come and pray. That's what's supposed to happen when Messiah comes. And then he also calls it a den of robbers. At that time, Jeremiah spoke of the temple authorities who were being unjust and oppressing their fellow Jewish people, and using the temple as a safety net. They would go around and say, peace, 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 when there is no peace, because there were literally warring armies outside the gates, and say, the temple of the Lord will protect us. The temple of the Lord will protect us, meaning Jerusalem will never fall. God's not going to let his temple fall. Kind of like the hole-in-the-wall gang would retreat to their cave after robbing and pillaging, only to come out again. And Jesus throws them all out. All the sellers, all the buyers, all the money changers, everybody. The sheep, the goats, the doves, whatever. With righteousness and integrity, Jesus throws out what is degrading the holy place of God and what is disrespectful, what is unjust, and what is oppressive. Getting angry with integrity involves opening one's eyes to what is truly holy and what is not. To not harm someone, including ourselves. To see what is harming someone. And to throw it out of whatever sacred position it has taken in our lives. How can we get angry with integrity? Abuse and injustice happen everywhere in the world. Especially abuse and injustice towards the young, the old, the weak, the vulnerable. Ann told us in Bible study of a ministry that she worked with in Vietnam, rescuing street children. These children had often left their families or been thrown out. The families were part of the problem. And on the street, they were vulnerable to gangs and all kinds of abuse. The ministry took them in, taught them job skills, and attempted to help them find a job. Some did not escape, but some did. Some did. Injustice happens everywhere, even here in our beloved Houston, which is a hub of human trafficking. Jesus throws him out of the temple. End of story, right? It's usually where we end it. It's great. He cleans it up. Wonderful. Not the end of the story. The very next sentence, Jesus is welcoming in the blind, the lame, those who were with blemish, those who would not normally be allowed into the temple to worship. He is welcoming them in, and he heals them. He fixes it so that they will no longer be excluded. Now they can worship every day. Jesus opens up salvation for everyone who needs it, which is all of us, really. No matter how good we look on the inside, we need Jesus to fix all our wounded, sin-sick, broken parts. We need him to welcome us in, to tell him we are fine, we can worship, and he will fix us. We will be whole and holy people. Anger with integrity doesn't stop at just throwing out what's wrong. It makes things right. It forces us to look at where we are blind, where we are lame, where we are sinful, and it compels us to work to bring what healing and wholeness we can, and to trust Christ to do the rest of the job. How can we be angry with integrity? There's a lot of angry people these days. Seems like everyone's angry about something. Then they're not going to be quiet about it anymore. But there's a lot of good in the world, too. There's a dentist who completely fixed someone's teeth so that her child could see her smile for the first time in her child's life. There's a good Samaritan who stops and changes the tire of my daughter's flat on I-10. There's pit bulls being recovered and trained to become canine aides. But then there's the people who are angry on the news, and they want to keep us afraid. They want to keep us angry. And you gotta wonder why. Not everyone is happy about what Jesus is doing either. He throws out the money changers. He welcomes in those who need welcome and healing. And the chief priests and the scribes, the religious authorities, are not happy about it. I mean, there's kids running all over the temple now screaming, "Praise to God! Hosanna, save us!" They don't like it. Their temple system has been overturned, and now where before there was chaos of animals, well, there's these kids making noise and a mess. We don't like it. Make them stop, Jesus. They always sound whiny to me. Make them stop, Jesus. But Jesus says, he quotes a psalm again, "Out of the mouths of babes and infants, God will be praised." If nobody else is going to do it, the very rocks will cry out in praise. After throwing out what is wrong and making things right, it's just no wonder there's praise to God. You can't stay angry when it's a time for praise. It is a time for praise when the children recognize the goodness of Christ. It is a time for praise when we recognize the goodness of God in our lives. Anger with integrity will result in praise to God. It can't help but. How can we be angry with integrity? You ever give yourself a timeout? Are your kids a timeout? Wonder what these two did. You know, sometimes when we get angry, we just have to stop, refresh, refocus, regroup, take a timeout. After throwing out all the problems, that's exactly what Jesus did. He threw out the trouble. He made things right. He heard the praise. And then he gave himself a timeout. He went to Bethany, had a quiet evening with friends, had some dinner, regrouped, refocused, and reconnected with God. Because tomorrow, he's going to go back and irritate those same authorities all over again, until finally they decide they got to do something about it. And the do something is kill him. Be angry, but do not sin. That's very freeing. Just like Aristotle, God says, you're going to get angry. Yeah, well. But you don't have to sin. Get angry about the things that should make us angry. Injustice, oppression. Get angry like Jesus. Fix it. Look for what you can do to help. Recognize when it's time to praise. And then regroup. Take time out with God before you enter the fray again. Be angry, but do not sin. What would Jesus do with anger? Let's try it.